Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts on the continuation of the Dueling Mock series. So far, so good, Kyle. We did the NFC North on yesterday's show. We're continuing things today with the AFC South, and I'm entering the day with a 75% win percentage so far in the polls.
Okay, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound good. But you have a 3-1 lead, and I told you this already, Joe.
I know, but I like my angle better.
The Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the finals. You can blow a 3-1 lead with 32 teams hanging in the balance.
Well,
there's 28 left.
So I'm excited. I'm excited about the way that I'm helping these teams and how I'm winning over fan bases.
You're
left and right.
A dork.
I know. I'm also recording this podcast with a dog in my lap. My dog, Bruce, has decided he would like to be with me in the chair as I record, and I've never had to do this before. So,
big fan of the pod, Bruce.
He listens to it every day live when it happens, and I think today he decided he wanted to be one of the hosts. So we have three hosts, my dog, Bruce, named after Bruce Smith. There you go. So there's a fun fact for you today.
Also named after my father. My father's name is Bruce.
That's a little known fact. Most people don't know that. Yeah.
People don't know about that, me. Right. Yeah, I've told you that. That's why Bruce is my favorite of your dogs.
I thought it was because he was the coolest, but.
Well, he is the coolest, and he's got the best demeanor, and he loves on me the most when I come over. But people aren't listening to podcasts to hear us talk about dogs, Joe. Let's get focused.
Who doesn't like dogs, Kyle? We have the AFC South, Texans, yeah. Jaguars, Titans,
yeah.
And some other team. What is it?
The Colts. Well, Colts fans, you know who you're not voting for.
When my haul is better, you know who to vote for. There's always that one team. Whenever you list the teams in a division, you just this one of them slips.
That was right. The Colts' team. And it's always the fourth one too. You're like boom, yeah. Boom, boom. Like it happened to me both days. We've queued this up on the mock draft machine on draftnetwork.com.
Yeah, except for you didn't reveal it on the pod like I just did.
Right.
Okay, let's do it.
You entering the lead,
yeah,
entering today with a lead, you get to pick. Do you want to go first or do you want to go second?
I want to go second. You're first with the Jaguars.
Okay, so I played a little okey-doke with you in the pre-show as we were drafting here. I made a comment to Joe. I said, Joe, tight end is not a high enough need for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was in the third round that I said this. I said, oh, I finally found a player to pick for the Jaguars. Their tight ends are Jeff Swain, Ben Koyak, Pharaoh McKeever, James O'Shaughnessy. I took TJ Hockenson at 7 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, getting them a big body tight end threat to kind of pair Nick Foles, had great chemistry with the tight ends in Philadelphia, getting a guy who can project early and play early in his pro career because he's comfortable playing with his hand in the dirt, I thought was really important. Moving to the 38th overall selection, Jakai Polite, edge defender. The Jaguars have a ton of depth on their defensive line. Adding Jakai Polite as a team that can afford to take a little bit more of a high-risk player, you know, you can keep him in his comfort zone. He's not too far from home. That tape's really, really good. And pairing him with Yannick Ngakoue, if you can get Jakai Polite in shape, and there's a lot of great mentors in this locker room, with Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue is a younger guy doing the same thing. I know they took DeJuan Smoot 2 years ago in the third round. Jakai Polite has massive upside, and it's a good brand fit for the Jaguars. Their third round pick, Damien Harris, I'm looking at the offensive backfield, and I wanted to tab them a running back. I gave them a complimentary player to Leonard Fournette, but also a player that I think gives you a little bit more wiggle than Leonard Fournette. Damien Harris out of Alabama, I thought was a player that stylistically made a lot of sense, but his running style is just a little bit different, gives you something else. And for the 98th pick, the last a pick of the Jaguars in the third round. I gave them a wide receiver. They love wide receivers with speed. I wanted to get them some size, but ultimately just kind of looking at how they've built their offense, I felt more comfortable targeting for them Mecole Hardman, wide receiver out of Georgia.
What was the point of your ploy there with the tight end thing? When you started saying that in the pre-show, I was like, oh, he didn't give him Hockenson at 7. And then you did. What were you trying to get done there? You knew that I already had already done my mock draft. I couldn't change
it. I'm just playing mind games with you.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not sure what that achieved, but it did. It had me thinking. I was because I, too, gave them Hockenson at number 7. I was like, well, I guess this is going to come down to whether or not the Duval County wants a tight end or not. But it sounds like we're in the exact same boat. The first replicated pick yet so far in the draft. So for my Jaguars haul, the first pick is TJ Hockenson. And what this comes down for me, and also what you're going to see with pick number 38, is that I'm trying to replicate the same ingredients that made Nick Foles successful at Philadelphia. And so he had Ertz and Trey Burton and Dallas Goedert there, really good tight ends, you know, not all at different points, but he's always had good tight ends. And right now, like Kyle said, when he listed the depth chart there, we don't have anything. I mean, they just re-signed James O'Shaughnessy, and that's certainly not your answer at tight end. I think TJ Hockenson could be a star. At 38, I gave him Kelvin Harmon, wide receiver from NC State. Mm. This is a big body dude. It complements what they have. They have Westbrook. They have Marquise Lee, a couple of more elusive guys with speed. Now I'm giving you that size guy, a guy that is very similar to Alshon Jeffrey, guy that is dominant with his play strength, a power forward, beats press coverage, and you could throw it to him. He can go get it. Nick Foles and Alshon Jeffrey did some really good things. We're going to replicate that with Kelvin Harmon at pick 38. At pick 69, oh, this is a great pick. Michael Dieter, offensive lineman from Wisconsin.
Nice.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good, right? Watch the tape. It's like, dude's always balanced. He gives you position flexibility. He's powerful. I mean, just technically really, really sound. I mean, we say plug and play pretty loosely sometimes with these offensive linemen, but he's a true plug and play guy, that was like 50 starts at Wisconsin. And Bruce is getting on the podcast right now. And so is all my dogs. And so Dieter, I think, can really challenge A.J. Kahn there at right guard and maybe even upgrade that right away as a rookie. And then my last pick for them, pick number 98, we're going to the edge position. We're going with Anthony Nelson, the Iowa edge. I think that he fits their prototype a little bit with giving them that size and length. And there is a player to every single game when you watch Nelson on tape that he just does rare things for his size. And so I think he would fit into the mix, give them some depth at defensive end, and some long-term youth at the position.
Now, this is good stuff. I'm going to go ahead and set the table for the Titans pick. You want to go give your dog some depth in the back room or something so they're not chirping away on us here, Joseph. Tennessee Titans, picking 19. My first selection for them was Garrett Bradbury. You could feasibly play him at guard. I like him at center. I know they got Ben Jones there. They signed Roger Saffold. Look, you go Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, Garrett Bradbury. Whoever is at right guard, whether it's Kevin Pamphile, you want to bump Ben Jones over, and then Jack Conklin over at right tackle. I really like the makeup of this unit as it transitions into some more zone-type concepts, as you saw them beginning to do this past year. 51, I went with a pass catcher. I'm looking at Corey Davis needing some players to kind of build out around him. And I think with the way the Titans wide receivers are built, you've got Corey Davis. They signed Adam Humphries in free agency. Taywan Taylor is a Z-type, speedy guy. Don't think he's kind of got the tree at this point that we were hoping he would, so he's probably a guy that's better relegated to play outside and do more vertical components. I want death by 1,000 paper cuts in the middle of the field for the Tennessee Titans. I gave him Andy Isabella. I doubled down on these slot guys, these potent dynamic route runners in the middle of the field. Andy Isabella at 51 gives you two guys in him and Humphries that can make a killing in the middle of the field, really prevent teams from dialing too hard in on Corey Davis on the boundary. And then you have the power running of Derrick Henry behind that with some of his athletic gifts. So a really interesting dynamic that you could bring for Andy Isabella to complement and supplement what the current receivers in Tennessee already have. 82, the Titans' last pick, I think they're the only team that had three picks. I gave them Colin Saunders from Western Illinois. If you're not familiar with his tape, check him out. He's a really, really fun big dude. Can play a lot of two gap concepts. So whether you want to play him at defensive end in this odd front, you want to play him at nose tackle, you want to move Jarrell Casey around. Colin Saunders at 82 is a player for the Titans that I think affords them some long-term benefits, you know, can help reinvigorate this defensive front. They've made some investments in some veterans, like a guy like Cameron Wake coming in. Harold Landry is a guy who they invested in last year. So they got kind of a mix of veterans and young guys, and just continuing that theme and getting Colin Saunders and pairing him with Jarrell Casey with Benny Logan, currently a free agency. So Joe, just a quick recap: Garrett Bradbury at 19, Andy Isabella at 51, and Colin Saunders at 82.
Kyle, we did some very similar things here in this one. So this will be interesting. Just want to let you know the mail came. So we're good. The mail came here at the Marino residence on this Friday afternoon. Yes. Okay. So Tennessee Titans at number 19, I went with Garrett Bradbury, interior offensive lineman from NC State. There's been a need there. They lost Quentin Spain this year. Right now we have Kevin Pamphile starting at one of the interior spots. And to me, there's some really nice players on this offensive line in Saffold and Luan and Conklin. And you hate for there to be one weak link and really ruin a good unit. And so for me, I want this to be a dominant front. And I think I get a really exciting piece in Bradbury, who's super athletic, really good reach blocker, gets out in space and has that lateral quickness to shut down gaps in pass pro. At 51, went with a wide receiver, went with Paris Campbell from Ohio State. I think that this offense needs speed. It needs more speed, and you get a guy with low 4.3 speed here in Paris Campbell, a guy that you can do a lot of different things with in terms of getting him the ball creatively, but also just he's going to be a nightmare for slot corners to match up with and be able to match steps with. And so I think that there's a really nice option there. You have him and Humphreys on the field at the same time, and you have Davis, Corey Davis as well. I think you can create some spacing problems for offenses. So I like that fit there, and gets the Tennessee Titans much faster on offense. My last pick went defensive line, went with Rennell Wren from Arizona State.
Picked Wren too.
Did you? Jeez, man. We would add something here. I think that they need some more able bodies on that defensive line. Rennell Wren is a guy that he plays with really good extension, really powerful. I mean, he needs some technical work, but in terms of raw traits, I mean, you have a really exciting package there with Wren. And I think that you can play him. And if they're going to go three man front, I think he can play maybe all three spots. He has really good two gapping upside. So, and enough juice to really be a pass rusher. So I think there's untapped potential. And I like the idea of him in Tennessee, where I think that they can get the most out of him right away. So my recap here is Garrett Bradbury at 19, Paris Campbell 51, the wide receiver and defensive tackle, Rennell Wren from Arizona State at 82.
You wanted the Colin Saunders pick.
Well,
you can just admit it. It's cool.
No, Colin Saunders is going to another team here eventually.
Little tip. Now, yeah. I ran point on the first two, so now you got to run point on the second two.
All right.
The
Texans, the Houston Texans, this team, at number 23. We went with offensive line, Jonah Williams, offensive tackle from Alabama. Could not believe he was still on the board. That was an easy choice for me. A guy that can immediately upgrade, I don't know, every spot on the offensive line for the Texans. Guy with 3 years of experience of starting at Alabama. He won the offensive lineman of the year award for the SEC. The guy knows how to block, and he has such a great base, such a great foundation. Frames players, frames blocks, and stays square so well. So I feel like he's an immediate upgrade for that offensive line. Deshaun Watson getting sacked 62 times last year, not under my watch. At number 54, we're going with a tight end. We're going with Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M. Love his route running. Love his seam busting ability. That dude runs stick routes so wonderfully. And I think that you can just really allow that offense to attack the middle of the field more and give them an X factor there at tight end. I really like what they can get from Jay Sternberger. At 55, we're going with cornerback Rock Ya-Sin from Temple. They just lost, Kareem Jackson. And they brought in Bradley Roby on a 1-year deal, but I thought they lost a lot of physicality and a lot of good tackling ability when Kareem Jackson left for Denver. I replicate a lot of that with Rock Ya-Sin. I think they need more talent in the secondary, and I think I achieve a lot of improvements there with Rock Ya-Sin at 55. And the last pick, Number 86, going back to offensive line, going with Bobby Evans, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. Talked him up yesterday. I picked him for some team, and I really like Bobby Evans. I know you do as well. 40-game starter for Oklahoma on the best offense and the best offensive line in college football, but for some reason we're not talking about him enough, and we're gonna do that here on the show because this is a good football player. Love how powerful he is. He moves well. He's got nearly 35-inch arms, and I think that he gives you the upside to play right and left tackle. And so between Evans and Jonah Williams, two offensive linemen I drafted in their top three rounds here, I feel like we've really made strides on this offensive line that Brian Gain doesn't seem too interested in doing. So to recap, 23, Jonah Williams, offensive tackle, Alabama. 54, Jay Sternberger, tight end, Texas A&M. 55, Rocky Sin, cornerback, Temple. And then finally, 86, Bobby Evans, offensive tackle, Oklahoma.
Okay, so great minds think alike. We're talking about offensive line and secondary for the Houston Texans. I did not have the luxury of Jonah Williams dropping on my board, but I feel okay with that because I targeted Andre Dillard, offensive tackle, out of Washington State. Smoothest feet in the class. He frames those blocks really, really well. He's going to be a left tackle in the pros. He's got some hand usage to work out, but Jonah Williams at the same time also has some extension issues that need to be accounted for as well. So as I look at Dillard, I think Dillard's got a higher ceiling. He's an elite athlete to play at the position. His footwork's really clean already. Really promising stuff to bring in a blindside pass protector to kind of help upgrade this offensive line. As I move into the second round, the Texans have consecutive picks at 54 and 55. I went with the secondary in both of these picks. So they have right now Justin Reed playing free safety. And Tashawn Gibson was a free agent signing that came in to start at strong safety. But there's a player on the board that I think makes a lot of sense. He's a popular player, Taylor Rapp out of Washington. Now, he's a guy that I want to be the strong safety. I don't want him roaming the deeper portions of the field. But as a guy that can buzz down and play the run and be an impact defender in zone coverage, he tested extremely well. So now you have some flexibility with a veteran in Gibson, a physically gifted guy in Taylor Rapp, who is a big-time hitter. He's a confident tackler. I like that dynamic in the secondary here behind this physical group that the Texans have in the front seven. And then at 55, I also went with the corner. I went a different direction, though. I went with Sean Bunting from Central Michigan, who is one of the fastest rising prospects of the 2019 NFL draft class right now. I believe I saw Dane Brugler said yesterday, potential top 40,
yeah,
for Sean Bunting. Now, his tape's really good. I watched his tape like when he first declared. He was the first declaree. So when I caught his tape, he really impressed me. And then he tested elite, and he's got these perfect measurables to be a boundary corner. And Houston right now has Jonathan Joseph and Aaron Colvin as their boundary corners. So give me a young, promising guy in Sean Bunting that I can add into this group, and I feel really good about that. Their last pick at 86, I went back to the offensive line as well. I went with Penn State offensive guard Connor McGovern, who's an athletic guy. He's big and physical. I think you can plug him at that left guard spot, and it makes a lot of sense to really help invigorate pass protection-wise, athleticism-wise, functional strength-wise. It's a nice step in the right direction for the Houston Texans to really get this offensive line right.
All right, so it is my turn to lead off again here with the Indianapolis Colts, who are loaded with draft capital here on the first 2 days of the draft, thanks to the trade last year with the Jets. And at number 26, I'm going with wide receiver Hakeem Butler from Iowa State. I like what they have in terms of T.Y. Hilton. I don't think Devin Funchess is a long-term answer for them. And I would want to get another dude for Luck in the passing game, a guy with some size. But, you know, Butler's not just a size guy. He's a guy that has plenty of route running ability, plenty of juice, a guy that can physically dominate. And so I think he's a really good complementary piece to T.Y. Hilton, a true X receiver that has long-term potential to be a fixture in this offense along with Andrew Luck. At number 34, one of my favorites in this year's draft class, Chase Winovich, the edge rusher. I think that this pass rushing situation in Indianapolis needs more juice on the outside. I know they brought in Justin Houston. I know that Kimoko Touré had some flashes, but I want to go ahead and make sure that I get a dog there, a guy that just plays like he's on fire. And it's not that he just plays hard and he's a hustle guy. The guy's got technique and play strength. So I really like what we can do here by adding Chase Winovich. I know that was a priority for Chris Ballard this offseason to add pass rushers. And, you know, I think if they were to be able to get one at 34 and be able to snag Chase Winovich, I think that'd be a really outstanding fit. At number 59, I went with safety Darnell Savage from Maryland. I like what they have in Malik Hooker as a deep safety. He can be that center fielder, that ball hawk, that guy that goes sideline to sideline. But they don't really have a guy like Savage, who I think gives them upside as a low safety, can do stuff in man coverage, really good around the line of scrimmage, really good tackler, physical, that tone-setting type guy. So I really like how he complements Malik Hooker and then really, I think, solidifies the safety position here for the Colts. And then at number 89, I went with Kalen Saunders, the defensive tackle from Western Illinois. He's a wrecking ball, man, and he's big and he's athletic and he can move. And, you know, he was able to just physically dominate at Western Illinois, but we saw at the Senior Bowl how much of an impact he can make when he's able to learn some technique and deploy some technique with his hands. And, you know, he had a sack in the game and was really good all week in practice. And so, you know, I think at 89 here, to get a guy with his type of potential to plug into the middle of the defense, we just got a lot more stout for this Colts team.
All right, Joseph, do me a favor. Just run through those picks one more time for me.
All right. The rundown is I turned my head.
You lost him.
Yeah. Number 26 went for Hakeem Butler, wide receiver, Iowa State. Chase Winovich, edge, Michigan.
Safety at 34.
34, 59, Darnell Savage, safety, Maryland.
Son of a bitch.
And Kalen Saunders, 89, defensive tackle.
Okay. Well, I also went with a wide receiver. I also went with Darnell Savage at 59, but let's run through the whole thing, shall we?
Please.
26, I took Jerry Tillery, defensive lineman from Notre Dame. Listen, he's right there in Indy's backyard. They're going to know him really well. He's going to be on their radar. Tested elite, Joe. Like, really, really good athletic testing. They spent a lot of time investing in defensive ends in last year's class. Tyquan Lewis, a guy that has some inside-outside potential. Tillery's like a true three technique, and he's also a guy that can reset the line of scrimmage. He's got heavy hands. I love his build. There's some consistency questions there, but this seems to be a really positive culture-oriented locker room right now, and I think if there was a place that could harness what Tillery has to offer, the Colts would be a favorable projection. At 34, I went with Kelvin Harmon, wide receiver from NC State, giving a little bit of a different taste to this wide receiver group. Obviously, you have T.Y. Hilton, a lot of speed there. Harmon is more of that, Joe, as you said, when you build this pick for a different team, power forward. Great ball skills guy, physical, able to win off of contact and create space for himself. 59, Darnell Savage. I love that pick, Joe. I'm not going to provide any extra commentary because you did such a wonderful job framing it on your own. And 89, I went with Jawan Williams, the corner, the long-armed corner from Vanderbilt. They re-signed Pierre Desir, brought back Pierre Desir to play boundary corner for them. Getting another outside corner that kind of fits that same physical mold and athletic profile, I think is a really attractive proposition for the Colts. I know they have Quincy Wilson there, but they need more competition, period. And that secondary is one that can continue to grow and thrive, and there's no such thing as too many good corners, I promise you. Jawan has some things to work through from a technical perspective, but from a scheme perspective, I like the fit, and him being a guy that has the kind of length that he has, I think projects very favorably to what the Colts are trying to accomplish with those corners. So it's now in the people's hands, Joe. You're winning 3-1 right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We will make Twitter polls as soon as we post this podcast, and we will know coming into the Monday show what the status is. I'm hoping to close a little ground. Help me out, folks, please. Please.
Campaigning for votes.
Please.
Pick the better
holes.
Pick the better holes.
You got to be a little bit of a politician. You know, if you want to win, you got to kiss some babies.
There.
That's just the way it is. Look for those Twitter polls. They're going up on Draft Network LLC. Joe is at the Joe Marino. I am at Grinding the Tape. Thanks as always for tuning in. We apologize for getting this up a little bit late, but we are here, damn it, 5 days a week. The Draft Dudes podcast. We'll catch up with you guys again on Monday.